Shoes. Recorded live.
Well, everybody, it's another Tuesday, and it's time for episode 22 of the Geocaching Podcast. I'd like to welcome back everyone who's here, who's been here before, and if you've not been to this podcast before, welcome, and we're glad you're here. This podcast is recorded live every Tuesday at 9 p.m. Eastern Daylight Time. So, welcome back, everybody. We had a week off from our live stuff because last week I said I was recorded because I was going to be having the opportunity to do power parachuting, and I didn't get the opportunity. I was mistaken. They were actually going to do a drawing for one free ride, and I was not the one who won, so I did not get to do that. So we actually have a caller on our line right now, so I'm going to go ahead and open up the line. Welcome to our show, Options. Oops, got muted again. Let's try it again. Welcome to the show. All right, well, they're actually not there. So anyways, what's on episode 22 today? We have Options. If you do want to talk, just go ahead and push the request to talk in the upper corner of the live client, and we'll get you on the show tonight. What's going on today with episode 22 of the Geocaching Podcast? We're going to talk a little bit today about the Midwest Geobash, since it is only 2 days away, and I can't. I've said this many times before, and I'm not actually going to be able to make it, but I can't wait to hear reports and stuff from people that are going to be there. But I'm going to let you guys know a little bit about the schedule of stuff that's scheduled to go on at the Midwest Geobash. First day is on Friday, and that's the first full day of the Geobash. The other days are just days for the volunteers to come. But the first day is Monday, and 10 o'clock, the doors open up, and campers are invited to check in, and everyone is invited to come on in. And if you've pre-registered, make sure that you guys stop by at the registration area to get your goodie bag. And the goodie bags are sponsored this year by Hogwild Stuff. And then from 10 to 4, the event facilities are open for things like travel bug trading and the store and other will call pickup registrations and stuff like that. They have the facility set up for like a casual meet and greet. So that's how the facility will be set up for that day. Then from 12 to 1, there's a lunch. It's on a la carte. Lunch is open too. Bring your own cash, and you can either bring your own lunch, or the store is open, so you can buy some stuff there. Then from 1 to 4, they have kids stuff like the crafts and the beanbag toss and the scavenger hunt and all sorts of fun stuff like that. From 1 to 2, flea market / vendor registration setup is at the merchants building. From 2 to 4, there's the event flea market at the merchant building. Come and see what geocaching wares and companies and organizations have brought to showcase to everyone who's there. From 4 to 6, there's the geocoin trading, which is the official time to do the geocoin trading. So, and then come especially at that time if you want to do your geocoin trading. And then dinner is served from 5:30 to 7, and it's a catered dinner. Meal tickets are available if you don't already have one. There's a limited number of tickets available at the door for $10 a ticket. And then also from 6:30 to whenever is the event, the evening social. It's entertainment to be determined. Come enjoy fun time with your friends and family. And then from 7 to whenever they're finished, there's a poker tournament, a geocoin poker tournament, and try your hand at winning just a bunch of geocoins. So, and then Saturday, the 2nd, is the day of Midwest Geobash, is going to be breakfast at 8:30 to 10:30, and at that same time, there's going to be a podcaster meet and greet. All of you guys who are podcaster listeners, you can go to the grandstands and learn more about podcaster and hang out with Sunny and Sandy and all the other great people at podcaster.com. From 10:30 to 12, there's a puzzle caching and a second session, and then there's from 12 to 1:30, there's a lunch again. Then 1:30 to 3:30, there's a meet the reviewers and panel discussion. Then 3:30 to 5:30, there is the keynote presentation, which they haven't said on here what it is. from 5:45 to 6:30, dinner is served again, and meal tickets, same thing as on Friday. 6:30 to whenever, evening social, entertainment, and hang out with your friends. From 7 to 9, the flea market and merchant building is open, so just like it was the evening before. Sunday, breakfast at 8 to 10:30, and then a campsite tear down, and then 11:30, you got to be out of there by 2, so get out of there, pack up, and go home. If you guys would like to be a reporter, since I can't be there, and I'm sad that I can't be there, but since I can't be there, if you guys want to call in and leave us voicemails about it and be a reporter, go ahead and put this number in your phone. It's 206-350-3GPS. That's 206-350-3GPS. Put that number in your phone and go ahead and give us a call. Do kind of a roving reporter type of thing. Go ahead and just leave us your updates on what's going on, since I can't go, and I wish I could. I'm so close, but I can't go. So go ahead and do that. Put those numbers, that number in your phone, and go ahead and send us an email. Or even better, come next Tuesday onto the podcast. It'll be live. We can talk about it live on the podcast. That'll be even better. The number to call in is 724-444-7444. And then you put in the TalkCast ID 7525 and use your use the pin Geocache 02 on the pin pad, or 01. Doesn't matter. That'll get you live to this podcast. One of the things that I did notice on the Midwest Geobash website, which is midwestgeobash.org, someone has set up a GPX file that you can download that has all of the waypoints for the waymarking sites all around the area, so you can do some waymarking. So Moscow32 is actually in our chat, and he says he wishes he could go to the Geobash 2, but he can't go either. So, well, I guess we're in the same boat, Moscow32. We both aren't going to be able to go to the bash. So I'm looking forward to the reports that are going to be brought back from this. But anyways, what is waymarking? So you may not know what waymarking is. You may know what waymarking is. We're going to talk a little bit about it tonight. It's going to be a fairly brief podcast, but waymarking, what is it? Well, if you've been around geocaching for a while, you'll remember virtual caches. And there are still some around now, but those are grandfathered, and you can no longer create a virtual cache. That's against the rules for geocaching.com now. So what is waymarking? Well, waymarking.com is the website that was born. It's still a groundspeak website, but since they no longer allow virtuals on geocaching.com, what virtual was, if you don't remember, was a geocache that there's no actual physical box to find. Get the coordinates, go to the site, and then you have to either answer a question or take a picture in front of something and email the person that placed it in order to get credit for it. Well, since that technically isn't a geocache, they decided to stop allowing those, and they created waymarking.com. So what waymarking basically is a scavenger hunt for unique and interesting locations around the world. It's a completely separate site from geocaching, and it has the same type of features. It's set up the same. In fact, you can actually log into that site with your geocaching.com ID. Since that is actually groundspeak ID, you can use it throughout the whole groundspeak websites. And so you can log on with that. Moscow32 says, wasn't waymarking also related to the locationless caches? I believe it kind of was, but I think locationless caches, yes, it is. It is the same type of thing. But with waymarks, what they are is there's different categories with them. So if you go onto the waymarking.com, you can search out, do a couple different searches. You have a search, like you can put a postal code in and it will tell you all of the waymarks near you, or you can go do a category search. So you can type a category in, like there's lots of different categories. Like, well, the one right now that I have up is ginormous everyday objects. And the feature waymark in that is a giant big wheel. It's really cool. So what what you do is it's kind of like the locationless caches, because they have features like that. Like the category is ginormous everyday objects, which is the same type of thing a locationless cache was. It was kind of like, well, if you're at a butterfly museum, then take the picture there. And then it's the same type of thing. These are ginormic everyday objects in this category, and this giant big wheel. And so the placer of this waymark, what you need to do is go to this location and take a picture with it, basically. And so then you get credit for the waymark. And it keeps your stats kind of like it does on geocaching.com. You have your own page, which actually is the same page from geocaching.com. It just copies that over. But it has stats for that. I've visited three waymarks so far, and I have four that I own that I've placed in different things. So it's kind of cool. I think it goes hand in hand real well with geocaching, because people who are out in want interesting places can go in, and let's say I type in my zip code 465. I gotta type it in right. 465-26. I hit search bar, and once my webpage comes up here, I'll show you. There's different things. The things that come up are Crossing Cafe, which is a Wi-Fi hotspot. That's the category it's in, and I actually own that one. And then there's Survey Disk. There's a historical marker. It's actually mine too. There's another historical marker. There's ginormous objects. There's a history museum. And then there's a mill. And basically, what you can do is, if you're visiting a place, like say I'm visiting Goshen, Indiana, where I live, I can go ahead and type in that zip code, and I can get the things that are kind of, people think are kind of cool. Sometimes they're not. I mean, it's cool, if especially if you're into history, then you can see all of the different historical signs and stuff like that. But it also brings you to some really cool things, like this giant big wheel that you probably just don't normally see every day. So one of the things, like people, it is a little bit hard to wander through this site. It's gotten a lot better than it when it first started. So, but originally it was a little bit hard to get used to, but it's kind of the same as geocaching. There are people who, just like in geocaching, there are people who, the reviewers, it's kind of the same thing here. They're called, I think the group category moderators. They moderate, so there's someone who moderates the ginormic everyday objects thing, and you submit it, and then they make sure that you have, you know, the correct information and picture of it and stuff like that, and then they'll post it. So it is definitely interesting. What are your thoughts on waymarking.com? Have you ever been there? Do you like waymarks? Do you not like waymarks? Like I said, it's handy because someone went ahead and put in all the waymarks into a file that are around the Midwest Geobash, which is cool, because then if you're traveling to and from, you can kind of see some interesting features by people who live around the area, which is people who are actually going to know what's going on with where the things are at, because they live around the area. So they're going to actually be able to direct you to the really cool things that are around the area. So, I mean, it is definitely an interesting idea. It's a good idea. I don't think people will find them nearly as much as they do with the virtual caches and the locationless caches, because cacher, you know, the counts as their caching stats and all sorts of different things like that. And personally, I do like the virtuals better than this, because there's some, it seemed like you answering the questions, whereas this, you just have to go visit and usually post it. So, there, you know, is definitely a, I'm trying to read here, Moscow32 says, I'm just noticing that there's a group icon for the ginormous everyday objects. Does it show up on a stat page if you find it? Let me, don't believe so. Let me look and see what my stats page are and see. Does. I'm trying to waymark list. Let's see. It shows. Yeah, it shows a Wi-Fi hotspot for me that I found, a watermill that I've. Oh nope, those are ones that I've posted. Let me see if I can find the ones that. Oh, there is a grid though, which is interesting. I'm not really sure what that's all about. It looks like it's the same grid as. Yes, it does show an icon for ginormous objects. It's a little bit different because it's a grid as opposed to like the things that we have at geocaching.com, the little icons. So it's more like a grid, like the kind that you see when you see the stats pages at a different terrain versus difficulty, things like that. So that is pretty much it on the waymarking.com. Let us know if you have anything that you like I said, let us know if you've used it, let us know if you like it, if you don't like it, what you do like it, what you don't like. You can leave us a comment several different ways. You can call us with a 206-350-3GPS phone number, or you can call in live next week and let us know, or you can go ahead and send us on our show notes at geocachingpodcast.info. You can reply to our posts and stuff like that, and that's where you'll also find the feeds for this podcast and all the good stuff like that. Remember, guys, I've also set up, if you guys are users of Twitter, I don't know if you've ever used Twitter, but I created a Twitter account for the Geocaching Podcast. It's called GC Podcast is the username on Twitter. Subscribe to that if you want to get updates, if you want to get reminders of when we go live. That's always a good thing to do because I'll send out messages saying that we're going live, you know, today. Remember that. So go ahead and definitely subscribe to GC Podcast on Twitter. If you're a Twitter follower, if not, go ahead and check out twitter.com, twitter.com, and you will see. It's a pretty cool thing. It's a way to keep in touch with your friends. So, Moscow said he just noticed that they have a map function. Why don't they bring that over to gc.com? Good question. I don't know. That'd be something that we could maybe ask the people. I'll try to get a hold of that information this week, and I'll let you know next week why they don't do that, or if they do, or if they have any plans on that. I will try to get a hold of someone at Groundspeak this week and talk to him a little bit about that. So, anyways, with that, go ahead and remember to join us this next week, guys. Tuesday, 9 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, talkshoe.com, when the TalkCast ID is 755. You can join us live, and we have a lot of fun, and just kind of an open discussion. Join us next week, and go out and go get them, and good luck, and have fun at the Midwest Geobash.